Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
One team. One dream. One
family.
Woo, we are back. Fish Tank Live presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt here live from the Casabella Design Group studios and, of course, the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. I am joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast draft talking business. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, speaking of live, it was a live one backstage before we even pressed play, damn it.
Man, you know what, man? I wish we would have held off another 10 minutes, man, before we went live, bro, because I'm telling you what, backstage was incredible, man.
Yeah, incredible. That's why
we got a cast of characters second to none right now, Big Seth. That's for damn show.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow night, but we have drafted some winners here for sure.
Oh, I like
on
that.
Fish Tank Live.
We don't know what's going to happen tonight.
We sure don't know what's going to happen tonight. It's far less predictable. I want to see a mock draft for this evening, that's for sure. All right, you're hearing all these voices and the laughter. As always, we are joined by the legendary Savak, the Emmy-adjacent producer, our guy. And, you know, what would the Fish Tank be anymore? Fish Tank Live, what would it be without Sun Sentinel columnist and the host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk, Chris Perkins. Perk, I'm digging that shirt, man.
Hey, I'm it's loving this, reps. Man. This is like some of my gear. I wear this to Publix. People are looking at me like, oh, damn. What? I'm like, that's like Fish Tank, baby, Fish Tank.
Yes, I need you to wear that to the press room. You show up to a half room presser in that.
You know what? I'm going to. At some point this season, I'm going to.
Let's go. I feel like Rich Eisen when he dared Mike McDaniel to say all that bullshit in his first press conference. Yeah, so that's going to be it. We need you to do that.
Did you get mine in the mail yet? Because this is now 3 weeks in a row.
Ooh.
I got Perk on here showing that off. It is
the yeah. Oh, damn, Big Seth.
I got to send you a picture sitting in the back of Mark's spot. It has not been taken there.
And yeah. Savak, real quick, Savak, you know he's got an account with any, like, you know, with UPS or UPS or USPS or FedEx. He's got all these accounts.
I'm all UPS. I don't mess with
UPS. That's what I'm saying. UPS is one of his major sponsors. I know he's got an N right there.
We'll get it worked out, Savak. Check's in the mail. Check is in the mail. All right, let's make sure before we get too crazy in here, we can't forget we got to slide into that dive bar. Everybody needs to – you can't pass by that dive bar with stop it without stopping in. Bobby Shouse back in the house. What's going on, man? He's done 19 straight hours of draft podcast on YouTube, and he's finishing the night with us. So he might be a little weathered. But he said he's saving the best for last.
No, I'm just getting warmed up. I'm ready. I've been looking forward to this all day, man. Actually, I don't know if Steph told y'all or not. I've been looking forward to this for 3 weeks. But we made it finally. So we're here, baby.
Oh, man. You know, I missed 1 week and the shots are being fired, but I'm earning it. Everything I'm getting here, I'm earning it. Yeah, he did. Bobby,
wait a minute. Big set. So Bobby's been on like a draft filibuster. All day long, like just on the microphone, like
Catalina and wine mixer.
The Shouse Marathon.
That's it. There's no doubt. It's unbelievable. So I got here about an hour early. Oh, Emilio, live from Mexico.
Live from Mexico. That's what I'm talking about right there. Welcome, brother.
So I sit down and I'm working on notes and just getting set up here and everything. And I jump on YouTube. And Dive Bar's got their show, you know, and they're doing their thing. And then, like, 45 minutes later, he's on another show. And I'm like, damn, I hope he's still going to make it. Is this payback? But here he is. So,
Bobby, did you have a sick day at work today? Like, you just, like, said, I'm not going to make it in? Or is this your permanent job right here, my brother?
Yeah.
Hard-hitting question.
I am full-time podcasting these days.
There you go.
But the days aren't always this crazy. Obviously, it's the draft eve. And, I always like to give people time because, you know, we only get to do what we do because people give us time. So when people reach out and they want to talk, they want to do stuff, especially with, you know, a great time to talk. And I love to talk. In case you don't know that, love to hear myself talk. Just like the rest of us, we do this for a reason. Don't try to act like I'm big-timing. But... yeah, man, I like to go hang out with people, man. I love people and relationships, so I always got time for people.
That's dope.
Well, we appreciate you making the time. So in the chat, you know, the chat's already cooking. Mike Oliva said Wally Pipp got his job back. Don't think I didn't hear that. Too funny. Well, guys, look, we've been joking around enough here. Tomorrow is big night. The NFL draft kicks off 2026, and it's always exciting for the Miami Dolphins. But when you have a new regime, and for the first time in God knows how long, you have somebody new making the decision, and it has been made very clear to us, we know exactly who is making the decision, right?
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Troy Aikman, he's welcome to be there. Love Troy. You know, Mr. Ross. Just best owner in the league. Love Mr. Ross. You know, Jeff Hafley, that's my guy. Been with him for 2 years. Is my decision.
Right.
So he told you straight up. And I friggin' love that. I love that, there's a confidence. I don't think an arrogance. There's a confidence there. But also, like, own it. Put your name on it. We've seen too much of this over the years. I was talking with somebody we just had on Fin Condition. We talked about the Zach Thomas card and, you know, how that card that where Bill Parcells, when he played against Zach, talked about how much he loved him and then he was gone. And, that, you know, Bill Parcells came out here and made all these big dog decisions. And then as soon as everything didn't, you know, Pat White, he starts pointing everywhere else, right? He's blaming all these other guys. So I like that somebody stands up and says, I'm going to be the guy's decision maker. But speaking of those decisions, Perk, I'm going to start with you. Because you just wrote an article about this. What must the Miami Dolphins accomplish tomorrow evening? Like, what? There's going to be a lot that happens over the next few days, but what is the absolute must that has to happen tomorrow?
The absolute must that has to happen tomorrow. The Dolphins have to get their right type of guys, the right mentality, the right mindset. That is over talent. And this is one of those rare cases where that is over talent. Talent is what wins in the NFL, but you've got to have the right guys. So aggression, right? Positivity. When you're talking about guys who want to do it the right way and be professional and show up at meetings on time and all that kind of stuff, all of those little things, that's what the Dolphins need. They're trying to establish a culture here. And so you need culture guys. We've seen what happens when you don't scout completely, right? You get Jonathan Martin, you get Deion Jordan. We've seen what happens when you lose control of a locker room, right? You get the bully scandal, which involved Jonathan Martin. You've got to have the right guys on your team. So that, to me, is the most important thing tomorrow night. Get the right guys who will establish your culture and the type of mentality, mindset, and attitude that you want going forward.
Culture,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, and Perk, you're right about that, Perk. Honestly, I mean, think about it. How often do you get a really, honestly, a full reset of guys that you want, that you absolutely want in that locker room? You know, this is a chance for these guys to get the guys that they want in that locker room. You know, I went through a reset. Honestly, you might not feel that way, but when Shula went to Jimmy Johnson, when we went to Jimmy Johnson, you know, he got a lot of guys that he wanted in that locker room. Mm-hmm. Compared to a lot of guys that were already in there, some older guys, which we just had with the Dolphins, some guys that – now, my older guys that were really professional, though, the guys that we got rid of were on time to meetings. They worked their butts off. They did all those things. But then the thing that the Dolphins have dealt with now is money, a money issue. We had a lot of money that was out there with a lot of older guys back then, and now same thing. Not only are they getting rid of older guys, but they're getting rid of a lot of locker room issues, I think, as well. And to be able to have a full reset, you know, we always talk about it all the time. You know, we want change all the time. Then my God, we keep going through this all the time. This is probably the most positive change we've had in a long time for this Miami Dolphins team. And it's going to start tomorrow night with a lot of guys that, you know, could really be the guys that, like you talked about, Perk, fit the culture that you want. It starts with these young guys being the guys that are culture guys that you want to have in your locker room to build around. And then – after that, the guys coming in the future, next year, the following year, year after that, all guys that'll fit that culture. You got to start right now with a culture change. And I think that, you know, it's a big opportunity right now for some young leaders to come into this locker room and be the guys that the Dolphins, you know, covet and want to have out there leading this football team into the future. And because, I mean, that's what it's all about, man. Look, you go back to times like – go back to, like, New England. Whenever Tom Brady and those guys, Tom Brady was a great leader and the guys around him. And then they started building around that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find these leaders that you want to build around. This is a draft where we can find some leaders that we can build around, and that's for the future. And then from then on, we can bring in other guys that fit that same mold. And that's what you have to have in that locker room.
Yeah. You know, for me, the biggest culture change is the guys we talked about. It's the head coach and the general manager. Yeah. I think that's the biggest culture change, you know, and now just go find us some good darn players. Speaking of which, so Bobby, 7 picks out of the first 94 picks that'll come off the board there, the most in the National Football League. We haven't seen anything like this in Miami since, I don't know, 2020, right? So what needs to happen with these 7 picks this time that didn't happen, you know, several years ago in 2020 when the Dolphins were similarly positioned?
Oh, I hope we draft football players this time. You know, not to be funny, but those guys are gone. I mean, most of them didn't work out already.
Right.
I think Austin Jackson is – I mean, there might be another one, but
– no, it's him.
Of the premium picks, Austin Jackson's still hanging around. Done got his pay cut down twice. I think he just didn't want to move. The wife probably told him, look, just take this shit. I don't want to – I like it. I like it here, okay? I like going down to Oslo's on normal weekends. All right, so that's probably the biggest difference. And I'm happy. I think Soli and Jeff Hafley are some of the best talkers we've heard in a long time. Them boys seem to know what they want, and they're going to go get it. But I'm glad it's over. I'm glad we're 24 hours away from – we don't have to – is he going to be like the Packers? What do they want to do? We're going to know exactly the kind of culture, I think, like OJ said, that these guys have envisioned, and it ain't – no more guessing. We about to find out.
Yeah, that's for sure. So 2 picks tomorrow night. Well, at least that's what they're starting with.
Yeah.
Starting with 2 picks tomorrow night.
Allegedly.
Yeah. You've got and pick 11. I mean, with pick 11 and looking at the talent evaluation in this first round, you have to believe that there are going to be a few players available when the Dolphins are up. If they stand pat, which John Eric Sullivan seemed to indicate they were going to do so, you have to believe there are going to be some players that could be impact players for this team for a long time at that spot. Is there anybody at pick 11? I guess predictions will come at the end of this thing. And so, you know, if you want to say a couple of different players, and Perk, I'll go back to you. Who do you think will be there at 11 that the Dolphins will have to make a choice on?
All right. So here's the way that I see the first round, because really the top 10 players in most mock drafts are pretty set. I see the pivot player as maybe Jordan Tyson, the wide receiver from Arizona State. If he goes in the top 10,
there you go.
And there's a good chance that either Mansoor Delane or Francis Maui-Naua drops down to the Dolphins at number 11 and is available. But if things go kind of as predicted, Jordan Tyson will be available for him at 11. Spencer Fanoh, the left tackle from Utah, will be available for him at 11. I don't know that there's an edge rusher that's available for him at 11. I don't know that there's a cornerback that's available for him at 11, aside from Jermaine McCoy of Tennessee. I think it's a little too high for Colton Hood of Tennessee. So, yeah. You know, I'm thinking, like, if they don't, you know, look, and we all know that Jordan Tyson has an injury history, right? I'm trying to think, knee as a freshman, and then shoulder, right? And then hamstring in three injuries. Jermaine McCoy has only had the ACL. So he doesn't have an injury history. He had an injury in January of 2025. So at 11, if Maui-Naua is available, if Reuben Bain is available, I would take them. If Mansoor Delane is available, I would take them. But I think the more realistic scenario, Jermaine McCoy and Spencer Fanoh are the ones who are the two that they choose from at 11.
Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Perk nailed that. There's like a group of 10 guys that you would love to have one of them fall to 11.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're doing. We're waiting to 11 to see what falls through the cracks.
Yeah.
And that's who you're going to stand pat and take. But like he said, you need one curveball in the dream world, two curveballs ahead of you to push somebody down to us. And that's really what it comes down to. I think we're in a good spot if, you know, someone falls through the cracks. If they don't, we're in that second tier now. And like he said, now you got some questions. You don't have the perfect prospect. Right. You can go anywhere from Vega to Kenyon Sadiq. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of questions there. There's a whole different tier of players after that.
That's the thing at 11, Big Seth. Like, think about 11. You know, it's crazy that we sit on the outside of the top 10, whereas, you know, there are some really, really great players in the top 10, perspectively, what people are thinking about. But sitting at 11 is like, are kind of on the outside looking in to wait and see what everybody else is going to do. And then, you know, Perk is known for, like, you know, putting out some videos of somebody to make them drop in the draft. You know what I mean? The South Beach stuff, you know, possibly that could, you know, make some guys just
come drop on, Perk, couple
spots. You know what I mean? And it ain't just Miami kids that could have been on some video. Everybody comes to South Beach, you know what I mean? And they might act up, you know. And Perk's got all this stuff that, you know, he works with TMZ at times, I think, you know, to make sure that these kids can come our way. But I would love to see, you know, some of these guys that could possibly slip our way. But if they don't, man, there's so many quality players still always in the draft, man. Problem is this, man. Perk talked about a guy with a shoulder and a knee. I don't mind the shoulder and knee as much as I mind the hamstring. The hamstring is the one that is, you know, always happening, man. If you've got a hamstring problem, you're always going to have a hamstring problem.
Truth, what about the combo package? The fact that he's bringing all three to you.
All three? You know, well, you know what? I mean, hell, you might get a shoulder injury on one play. That's something different. That could be rehab. You might mess the knee up on something else. But a hamstring is perpetual.
It's a big word. Mm.
Big word like mayonnaise there, man. They don't go away, man. They don't. I was waiting for the reaction there, fellas. Hey, come on, man. Work with me. Work with me here, fellas. Work with me.
Yeah,
you know, they're nonstop. They really are, man. And I'm gonna tell you what, down here, hamstrings are probably worse because of dehydration.
Yeah.
Because when you get dehydrated down here, and you will get dehydrated, trust me, I lost 10 pounds one day, my first day down here. Like, damn, I look like I was sick. You know what I mean, Perk? You know, but you're going to have that. And that's when some of these other injuries will flare up, man. So, yeah, it's tough, man. And the injury history is always going to be part of what they're doing, man. And we've messed it up a few times. Like you talked about, Big Seth, I don't want anybody that's hurt come in here, but everybody's got something under medical. Somebody's got something under medical. You got to weigh whether that medical is bad or, you know, bad enough for you not to get them, you know?
Don't be chasing broken guys, man. I think. And speaking of which, you know, I know everyone wants Maui Noah, but now all of a sudden you've got this issue about his back, right? And there is a herniated disc, and potentially one team, you know, what they say is that one team feels he might need surgery. And it doesn't seem to be scaring anybody off in these mock drafts or what have you. And I understand why in terms of the talent and we have an affinity for him down here. But again, man, it's just a back injury for a player in that position.
Yeah, how many snaps did he miss, Big Seth?
Right. You know what, Seth? I don't know how you look at these things. I always think there's a reason. You remember when Abdul Carter last year from Penn State, the foot injury thing, right? And it was like, he's going to need major surgery and blah, blah, blah. I'm just always, if it comes out at this time, I'm very interested in the why and the, you know, how severe is this really? It just sounds like somebody's just trying to get an advantage. I don't trust that kind of medical stuff this late in the process.
So you're saying John Eric Corbin's releasing that information? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's it. Could be, baby. I won't say who the source of it is, but I'm suspicious of the information. I'll say that. It'd be brilliant if Sully did that, wouldn't it?
It would be just one more reason for us all to love him. But I think I'm one of these scarred Miami Dolphins fans that say, well, the one time it's true will be the guy that we pick that we try to believe that it isn't true. So, you know, I don't know that I just,
hey, you got
any broken guys, man.
You got to look at it in a positive way. The rumor could benefit you like it did with Laremy Tunsil, right?
But that wasn't an injury rumor.
No, that was just a rumor. It was just a late in the draft process smear that benefited the Dolphins, which I think the Bane and the Maui Noah things are, quite honestly.
Yeah. No.
Bobby, what are you saying, Bobby? What you got, Bobby?
I was just gonna say, I don't think you could consider it a rumor when a guy is smoking weed in a gas mask.
The video footage.
It was true. It was a smear.
Video was what it was.
It was like his stepdad or something released a video. All I got to say is, I want to shake that man's hand.
That's right. Hey, I remember when we had to say something like he was wearing what appeared to be a gas mask. It was like when Chris Forster appeared to be snorting a white powdery substance.
It definitely did appear to be a gas mask.
But whatever, right.
Well, so you just mentioned Reuben Bain. And, you know, there's another guy, right? The arms situation, which I think is ridiculous. You know, the driving, I hate to just minimize it as driving record, but, you know, the tragic incident that occurred, you know, with an accident when he was behind the wheel, and all of those things that have come out. But then you also got to, I mean, at some point, roll the tape, right? You know, like I think it was you, Perk, who asked the question about all these different things that you use to evaluate players and what's the one thing. And John Eric Sullivan was like, the tape. Like, you know, let's watch what these guys did as players. And I have a hard time seeing, and I you know, we're seeing more and more mock drafts saying that Reuben Bain will be there at 11. I have a hard time seeing him there available at 11. But if the Dolphins like one of these guys, Caleb Downs is another name that we've heard as somebody that, boy, wouldn't it be great if they somehow slipped to 11. You got four picks in the third round. Why would you not, if a guy's still sitting there around 8, why would you not try and jump up a couple spots to go get a guy that you really want rather than waiting for everybody that you want to fall off the board by the time 11 hits?
I don't know what the Dolphins' risk I guess what their risk tolerance is, because we haven't seen Sully and Halfley in a draft. We would have a better idea with Greer and McDaniel because they had a track record. So Seth, I mean, I could agree with you on that, but you know, Sully has said that they treasure draft picks, that he's said we have 11 selections and we like having that amount. Having said that, they still could trade out of number 30. I just can't see them moving out of 11. I can't see them moving up. I could see them moving down more than up, but I see them staying at number 11. I think at number 30 is where you can start talking about them trading down out of that spot. But I, you know, 11, I just don't see anybody that they want to go get. Even if, you know, even if Maui Noah is there, even if Bane is there, you have to give something up to get them. And the message that I've received from them is they treasure those top picks, especially too much to give one up to do a 2-for-1 or what have you.
Yeah. What's the point, Seth? What's the point in having draft picks if you can't use them for leverage, man? You know what I mean?
Well, I look at it.
Yeah, we got 11 draft picks. 5 or 6 of those dudes might make the squad. You know what I mean? Let's be realistic right here. Or they might be impact players. You know, you hope that if you have 11 picks that 4 of them become really, really good football players on this football team. But some of them are just going to be, you know, just Jags, just another guy. You know what I mean? And that's just part of what it is, especially the later you get in the draft. So if you can use some of this stuff that we have as leverage, we have so many assets that if we want to go up and get a guy, hell, we got 4 third-round picks. I would package that shit all day. Survive. Damn, Savak.
Are you working on your mock draft over there, man? Like, what's technical difficulties? It appeared to be a technical difficulty as well.
Yeah. You were frozen for a second. I'll give you that for this time, Savak. But you know, it's like, honestly, man, I mean, a third round pick is a huge pick in the draft.
Yeah, they get 4 of them.
That's what I'm saying. So why can't we package something if we need to make a move? If we want to go get somebody, and we'll find out tomorrow night, you know, if we want to go get somebody, man, throw one of those thirds in there, you know, and swap a first, whatever has to happen, man, and go get somebody, man. But, they've been great at not showing their hand, and I love that part about it. You know, we know what we need. We do know what we need, you know. My girl Lisa said, you know, she's heard about 2 first-round picks being – wide receivers, I don't want that. You know, as much as I love wideouts,
yeah.
You know, only wideout I want, because I've seen this dude way too many times, is Tate. If Tate's not there, I don't want anybody else. I don't want anybody else, man, because Carnell's a beast of a dude, man. I mean, I just know he's a solid player. But, you know, otherwise, man, let's get big, let's get nasty, you know, when it comes to our football team, and then build from there on, man. And we've got a lot of assets I can talk about with draft picks, you know. You know, having 7 in the first, you know, 100 picks, that's huge, man. And we're second to what Pittsburgh has the most draft picks. I mean, they have like 12, right?
Yeah.
We have 11, you know, and they've got a lot of work to do too. So, you know, who knows what they're going to do to move around as well. And, you know, they might want to make a splash with the draft being back in there. You know, their house. Yeah, who cares? Big Sam, give a
damn. That's Chad's problem.
You
know what I mean?
Their biggest problem is Aaron Rodgers holding them hostage right now. You know, that's their biggest problem. So what are they going to do there? But if there's somebody they love, go get them, Bobby, right?
Go ahead, Park.
No, I was going to say, you know, regarding the third-round picks, and Bobby, you tell me what you think about this. I would think at – between your starting right guard and wide receiver 2, I wouldn't mind them seeing acquiring one of those starting spots by trading a third round pick. And like I told you guys, Dallas, they just traded the D tackle, whatever his last name is, to San Francisco for a third round pick. So you can get a starting wide receiver 2, and then your right guard, maybe a post-training camp cut in August. I think between the training camp cut in August and trading a third round pick, you could fill starting right guard, wide receiver 2.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people forget that we got a bunch of money coming after June 1st too.
Right.
And exactly, there's a lot of guys still waiting in the wind for some of that money potentially, you know, Juwan Jennings, David Njoku, Maybe a veteran guard gets cut. There's always seems to be a veteran guard gets cut come August. Perk's right about that. I don't know what it is, but it's always there. As far as double dipping on receivers, I could definitely see it day two, three. You look at Soli and his background. His dad was one of the best receiver coaches for 30 years. You don't think this guy knows how to find a receiver?
Right.
This dude doesn't have to pick him at 11. He's going to find his guy, and he's going to like him. And as far as trading up, I said this months ago. This is before we had 30. This is before we had 94. If Soli's first move as the GM of the Dolphins is to go get Caleb Downs, my 1-1 of this draft, I'm sleeping good tomorrow night, boys. How could you not like the guy? Soli's first pick is your favorite player in the draft. I don't care how he got him. Trade him a Cadillac. I don't care. Put the gas mask out there, Perk. I don't care. If his first pick of his era of the Dolphins GM is the best player in this draft, how are you complaining? I don't care what it costs. If your first move, you think you should go get Caleb Downs, I fucking love Caleb Downs. Let's go. Yes.
So that's my point, is that if there's somebody sitting there around 8, and it's a guy that he talked about there should be players, they expect to be players that are worth taking at 11, available at 11, right? You know, and that's why he doesn't plan to trade out of that pick. But he also talked about the different tiers of players and the guys who he thinks are kind of future Hall of Famers versus guys who are really good versus, you know, and then on down the line to the Jags that Juice talked about. If you think a guy is a generational talent and he's still sitting there at 7 or 8 and it's just going to cost you, you know, and you like a team that's there at 8 can only go back 2 or 3 spots and pick up one of those thirds. I just don't understand why you wouldn't consider it. And I know what he told us, but should we believe everything that he tells us in that? You know, not that I think he was playing coy, but if the opportunity's there and there's someone who you think that the talent disparity between that player that's available still around 8 versus who might be there 3 picks later, I just go get the damn guy that you want. Yeah. Instead of sitting there, hold on to my 4 picks in the 3rd round.
Yeah, you know, Big Seth, I think a lot will change, Perk and Seth. That I think a lot will change depending on how the board, you know, matches up, how the board falls, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he can say whatever he wants right now, but then you get to that situation like, well, damn, I know what I said, but, you know, nobody's held to what they – nobody's held to
Bobby
what they
said. Yeah, Bobby wants
Downs.
You can
be throwing smoke up everybody's you-know-what, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You know, who knows, man, what's going on. But if there's somebody they freaking covet, if they covet somebody and there's a chance, they're going to be on the phone, man, because you know what? That's what you have to do in this situation. You know, the fact that they have a bad cap situation, they were still left with a lot of draft picks. You know, they still have a lot of draft picks, which is like, you know, imagine if you didn't have either one. What imagine if we didn't have any money and we didn't have any picks. Mm-hmm. That's you know, catastrophic. It's another big word like mayonnaise, Savak. You know, catastrophic, you know, if they didn't have that. But the fact they have picks, they have leverage, man. And they can shake and move and do some things that, you know, a lot of teams don't have that thing. You know, we gave up so many first-round picks back in the day for so many guys. Mm. Now we've got our first-round picks again. You know, before we got on the show, we talked about the 2020 draft. We're sitting there with 3 first-round picks, you know, and what happened there, you know, catastrophic. You know, honestly, I mean, all you know, it's catastrophic. Let's leave it at that. We thought we had a franchise quarterback for the next 15, 20 years with the right tackle, you know, the cornerback. Huh?
Who thought that?
You did, Big Seth. You were
that he was for in. The next 15, 20 years.
you were all in.
Yeah, you. OJ named names.
No, he didn't. Seth did not.
I was excited in my Hawaiian shirt and my lei.
Yeah, know. He was going to his luau's and everything, Perk. He was all in at the luau's, at the Hard Rock. Oh, yeah. He was all loving two. Oh, yeah. Now he's like, nah, I didn't want that dude in the first place.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, they flipped.
I didn't say, hold on. I didn't say that.
Flip it like a fish in a fish tank.
I definitely went to the luau, and Tua and his foundation were kind enough to hand the Jason Taylor Foundation a $25,000 check. So you're damn right. I was there. That was very generous of that. I was excited about Tua, but I think we saw very quickly that there were things that were concerning, is what I'm saying. And we won't turn this into a Tua.
We're done with that. We've already turned the page on Tua. That's for sure.
So, but I just was franchised for 15 years.
Who do you guys think? Bobby already said Caleb Downs. Who would be there, do you think, at 7 or 8 that you would trade up for? Like, I would trade up for Arvell, Reese, David, Bailey. I don't know if I would do it for Maui Noah. Don't know if I would do it for Bain.
I would do it for Bain.
Sonny Styles?
I feel about Bain the way Bobby feels about Downs. I think Bain.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Yes. I think that is a game changer right there.
Yeah, I don't know that there's anybody up there that they could – I don't know that there's anybody that I would trade up for. That's kind of what's got me. That I agree with you guys. If there's somebody there and he's a Hall of Fame caliber player, yeah, you go get him. I mean, screw those third round – who you're getting in the third round. You get that transcendent player. I'm just not sure that there's anybody that's going to be there for the Dolphins.
Perk, how do you know that somebody's a Hall of Fame caliber player coming out of college, though, man? That's the
hardest
part.
Oh, you don't know. I'm saying if Sully and Half feel that way, they're the ones. It matters for them. I'm just saying for what I've seen, like, I'm not in love with anybody like Bobby is in love with Caleb Downs or Seth is in love with Bain. For me personally, there's nobody that I would trade up for. But if Sully and Half, it matters their conviction. That's what matters.
Yeah.
Another thing.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Another thing people don't consider enough. You can sit here and go, we got 11 picks. You want to draft 11 players. But look, if they got top grades on 60 players, 94 really doesn't mean what you think it does.
Right.
Why not take 94 and 90, get up there to 65 and possibly get one of those guys that they love? When the draft tails off like they think this one does, that's why it's easy to sit here and be like, we want all the picks. Give me more picks straight down. But like, if you know you love 63 guys in this draft, go get as many of those 63 guys as you can. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people overlook that part about drafting. And I'll say this too. I do love Caleb Downs. I'm just saying if that's what his move would be, I would respect that. But I also feel like this. If all else fails, give me Vega at 11. Give me the nasty Mahler at guard, plug and play. And you can say guard's not worth it there, but I'll tell you this. How many other guys in this draft, especially if that top 10's gone, do you know what you got for the next 10 years? And Vega, to me, is a starting guard for you for the next 10 years. And I'm taking that all day.
Yeah.
I just feel like we've heard that about a few different guards here over the last.
The nastiness. We haven't heard a lot of nastiness about him, though, Big Seth. I want nasty, though. How grimy can my guards be? I want them grimy. I want them on the field peeing on themselves, Big Seth. I want them biting people. You know what I mean? I want all kinds of just grimy, nasty going on from them, man. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
You don't want a locker next to these dudes, man, because you know they're just filthy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
those are the kind of guys I want. You know,
they might have
their own locker and then two empty ones next to them. Kind of guys.
But they had that. They had that with Richie Incognito. They had that.
Yeah.
Mike Pouncey was a Pro Bowl guard. You forget.
Yeah.
John Jerry was a good guard. Now, you can say whatever you want about Nasty with Pouncey and Jerry and the bully scandal, but
don't forget my boy Richie now.
Yeah, we had Richie on our podcast, man. And Richie was great, man. I'm not buying all that bully shit.
I liked all those dudes. So, that I agree with you, Juice. That's the kind of nasty that you want. Like that, I agree with you. That's what I want in my offensive lineman. Just somebody who's kind of on edge. And I think that they need that all throughout the locker room. I thought Jarvis Landry was like that. From a reporter's standpoint, like you didn't want to really ask Jarvis that tough question after the game at his locker because he might stand up and confront you. I love that. Right? I love that kind of stuff. They need more of those. Like, look, I said about this team under Mike McDaniel and Juice said kind of the same thing. They had too many guys that you would trust to babysit your kids, right? And Juice said there's too many of those guys you would trust to go out with your daughter.
You need a certain element of nastiness. Let's keep it in perspective. We're not talking about guys who get arrested. We're just talking about dudes who have an edge about them, who when you approach them, it's like, damn, this dude might go off on me. Randy Starks, right? Like Rashad Jones, like give me an edge.
Right.
Hey, to Chris's point, to Perk's point, you really do got to be careful. One day you're asking a player a question, the next split time you talk to him, you got to call him Mr. Kevin Burnett. So, you know, be careful. That shit escalates quickly.
Omar Kelly, baby.
Another great guest. Yeah, Omar Kelly. Golly.
Dude, that was legendary.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. You know, dudes. Football, we know this, man. Football, and probably hockey too, man. You got to have some nasty MFers on your team, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it really is. It's a tough gig. And Perk, you hit it on the nail too, though. You want dudes that are nasty in that building, but when they get home, man, kind of be semi-normal, which is hard to ask some of these guys, man. It really is. It's hard for some guys to turn that switch off, man. But you do. There's some guys that, I went to Afghanistan and visited the troops one time. And all these special ops guys were super, super nice guys.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But they will fuck you up anywhere else, bro. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's the kind of guys I want on my football team. Nice guys twice. Away from that, but when it's in the trenches, they will murk your ass. You know what I mean? That's the kind of dudes I want on my squad, bro. Yes. That's the dudes I want on my team.
Juice, I told you when Mark Dixon started coaching high school ball with the group there, and he was like, man, I can't win with these boys. He goes, I got a bunch of churchgoers. He goes, I can't. He goes, I took this whole group, my whole team to McDonald's. I didn't get one kid that would even steal a hamburger. I just need one kid to reach over. He goes, I got 62 guys at McDonald's. I couldn't get one kid to reach over the counter and swipe a hamburger. How am I supposed to win? He goes, order. He goes, can I get a guy to order a cup of water and go fill it up with some soda? I couldn't even get that. He goes, I can't win with these boys, man. So, It's a great point. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's get some predictions really quickly, and then we'll get into I tried to tell y'all. Who wants to kick off the predictions? Savak, you want to get in on the predictions too? He's like, no.
I'll kick it off.
All right. Go for it.
I'm saying at number 11, the Dolphins get Mansoor Delane. I'm saying somehow he falls to them. I'm saying at number 30, they take Keldrick Faulk, the edge rusher from Auburn. And let me be very, very clear. We all know Keldrick Faulk is not a sack guy. He had one sack last season. He had 7 sacks the season before, but he's a big physical run stuffer, a high character guy. Also, I think he fits what the Dolphins could need as far as toughness, aggression, and kind of that mean attitude from a sane, high character player. So I'm going Delane and Faulk.
Interesting. Now you go with Delane, even though speaking of the aforementioned Omar Kelly said that Jeff Hafley told him, I don't need a first round corner because I can get a guy later and coach him up.
Well, here's how I look at that. If you look at Green Bay, it was the receivers that they got later and the offensive linemen, right? Because didn't Hafley was or Sully was saying at the last press conference they got Corey Lansley, the center, Pro Bowl center in the 4th or 5th round. They got David Bakhtiari in the 4th or 5th round, and there was another offensive lineman that they got in the 4th or 5th round. So I'm thinking they go receiver, offensive line later. Again, give me Delane and Keldrick Faulk, the corner and the edge rusher, doubling up on defense.
Perk, the question in the chat, Eddie Harrell wants to know, would Faulk steal a burger? So that's the question.
I would have to say yeah, man. I mean, come on. You come right. in at that size, you can stick one of those big hands out there and just grab one. Nobody will know. Yeah.
I don't even know if he got a handful of fries.
Yeah, I don't know if he got to steal it, man. He's just going to Debo it, man. It's like, it's not stealing, it's taking. It's taking
it from his teammate.
The difference.
He's taking from his teammate. Too good. Go ahead. What are your predictions?
Man, I really hope this is just one of those draft week buzzsaws. But, man, Spencer Fano is growing a lot of legs lately. And I know he's most likely to be there. That's what makes it so scary.
Yeah.
With With that being said, oh man, I don't want it, but Spencer Fanu is making a lot of sense. I'm still hoping and praying whoever of that top 10 falls down, whether it be Bane, you know, CC, the tackle for Miami, or Delane, any of those guys. And if not, give me Vega. Come on now. Quit playing around. He's definitely still in burgers. stop playing with me. He got the gut hanging out the compression shirt. Come on. Dude. And then 30, and I will say this will perk, because Keldrick Faulk gets a lot of shit. And I think that's because a lot of people are trying to give him 11. And I think at 11, that is a bad pick. I think at 30, you'd be damn glad to get Keldrick Faulk. He's a hell of a run stopper. He has a big kid. You don't see 6'6", 4'6", in this draft very often. Right. There's a lot of tweeners, right, a lot of smaller edges, a lot of what position are you again? And that's the only reason we're talking about Bane possibly being there at 11. Right. With that being said, though, I'm going with Vega at 11 and then Chris Johnson, the San Diego State corner, at 30.
Mm. Oh, okay. Nice. Okay. Nice. All right. We can go with that. Juice, are you even making predictions or are we saving it for radio?
Well, you know, I'm going to save it for radio probably, man. But all I'm saying is, like I said last week, draft the Big Ten. Just draft the Big Ten.
Draft the Big Ten.
You know, he's got like 40 dudes in the first round, potentially. You know what I mean? And, you know, I don't like doing predictions. For one, I don't follow it as well as these guys do.
Right. Me either.
I know that you don't know who the hell. If dude plays for, you know, Montana State University and he's a beast, you know, draft that motherfucker. You know what I mean? That's all I care about, man. I don't know a lot about a lot of these guys, and you never know who's going to be great players in the NFL until you get them in the camp, you know. And some of these dudes, you know, look, I lined up against some dudes that, like, went to, like, Montana State, you know, in practice, and, man, they put their hands on me. They can play ball. I don't care where you come from or what it is. Can you play ball? And I'm looking for somebody that can play ball, man. So it doesn't even matter to me. And we won't know anything. We're going to hear all these rumors in training camp or OTAs, this guy's shining, this guy's doing this. I don't care what you do until September hits, when you're going against some of the best receivers, when you're going against some of the best tackles, when you're going against some of the best defensive linemen, when you're going against some of these other dudes in the league. I don't care, you know, all this shit you did in college, that gets you. The film gets you where you're at right now. But I'm telling you this, I don't care what it is. Can you play in their schemes offensively and defensively?
Right.
And can you be effective? Some dudes were trash in college and became really great players in the pro. Tom Brady was trash in college.
Trash.
Hot garbage.
Get him.
Now look at him.
Now look at him, man.
So now, you know, so I don't even care who we draft.
Now
man.
Look
as
at him.
As long as these dudes, you know, I want dudes that, like Kirk said, they're not babysitting. They're not dating my girl. I don't have any girls, but they're not dating them. All I want is some dogs, man. I don't care what it is. Give me some dogs.
Fair enough.
I love it.
Fair enough. Yeah, I should just speak it into existence. I think that somebody like Bane's going to be sitting there at around 8, and they're going to leapfrog. And that AS is going to say, you know what? Here, take this third-round pick. Let me get in there. You can have 11 and a third-round pick. And then when it comes time to 30, he can find somebody who's really thirsty trying to get back into the first round and let them jump up and then reclaim one of those picks that you had to give up. Right. So that's my prediction there. But, yeah, I am so in on Reuben Bane, and I know there's a bias there, and I know my boss is mentored him and everything else. But, you know, I have preached, and it's going to be part of my trying to tell y'all. I just – Pass rushers. If we're not drafting a quarterback in that position, then go get the guy who can impact the quarterback's play as much as possible.
Seth, I'm thinking JT wrote your whole script today, bro.
I was fixing to say, what you can't see right now is JT standing to his left.
JT's like, with the flashcards, like,
I was just saying, he's holding signs over there.
JT is going to mention
Mesidor. You didn't mention Mesidor at all.
should I go 11 and 30 and get them both? And just keep them both here in Miami? Yeah, that's what we should do. So that's my thoughts on that. The predictions, we're seeing some good stuff in the chat here as well. Trade down, get extra picks. Oh, there's nothing I hate more than trade. There it is. Mike, Bane at 11, Mesidor at 30. There's no doubt.
Let me tell y'all something, though. I heard today, I'm not going to say who, but if you know me, you know there's a guy on our podcast that's pretty well connected. They represent one of those guys. And let me tell you, this guy's going way higher than 30 now. They think even as high as 15 to the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So watch out. Messador is coming.
Yeah.
I've seen Messador
or Sadiq
to, at 15 to 10. I like Sadiq too. I think that
Turn off for certain teams like us that have a while before we're competing again. But you look at a team that thinks they can compete the next couple of years. They're on their last legs of competing. They really need a guy like Messador to come right in and make a difference. So,
yeah.
And you're right. That age thing. And I know who pointed that out to us, Juice, but that John Eric Sullivan kind of even said as much that you don't want a guy who's going to be 30 by his second contract, but they're not acting like this is a 32 year old senior that they're drafting. So I don't know, man, go get me some good football players who are nasty and can be disruptive. That's the way I look at it. Let's roll into, I tried to tell y'all, we've had a lot of fun here and the chat is thumping right now. Juice, as always, you kick off this segment. What'd you try to tell us?
All right, y'all. All right. I tried to tell y'all, 'twas the night before the draft, and all through the war room, not a coach was stirring, just Sully in full bloom. The big war was hung by its post with care, in hopes that a first-round stud soon would be there. General manager Sully sat poised, cool in his chair, with visions of trenches, which nobody talked about, and speed to declare. Now, Big Seth was hoping for certain players, as we heard, and he was very busy. But all of our texts and calls and emails certainly made me dizzy. Head coach Stafford paced with his defensive schemes tight, dreaming of a unit that hits and performs just right. Running back Achan, a no-chance trade piece, and so fleet, was locked in as the heart of the ground attack that we desperately seek. Quarterback Malik Willis, the new gunslinger in town, would definitely need weapons galore. Like always, wide receivers to turn it around. Center Aaron Brewer anchored the line with a lot of pride, while linebacker Jordan Brooks roamed from sideline to sideline. Yet so many positions cried out that we're in great need, edge rushers, corners, and guards to succeed. But the wide receivers, barely a known name on the roster, but still a handful of names, no stars left to foster. Sully scratches his head, and Halfley does too. We must stick to the air game, or the offense is through. They plot and scheme through the midnight hour, potential first round pick, maybe at wide receiver again with power. I mean, I like that. Or maybe it's a tackle to protect Willis fully from both sides, or a speedy wide receiver again to stretch the field north and south and east and west side. Achan with Baz, Brooks with Thump. Brewer was snapped as Malik dialed in at his bump. I don't know where I put that in for. Then Willis would sling as the line held the fort, and Halfley could coach with that old Packers sword. Sully whispered low as he studied the tape. Build through the draft. No more cap escape. We'll grab what we need with our picks in the stack. A few wideouts early to get us back on track. Oh, you see, everything always comes back to wideouts, right? Always with me, right? Then from the board came a glimmer of light, a blue chip talent to make the Dolphins' future bright. The Dolphins would rise from the rebuild's deep night with Sully and Halfley steering the fight. So here's to the draft and to the picks to fall, to Achan, to Brooks, to Brewer, and Willis standing tall. So Savak, Seth, Bobby, and Perk, let these young guys come down to South Beach and put them to work. Merry draft Eve to all. Let the selections ignite. A new era for Miami. Can wait to see it under the lights. I tried to tell you.
Incredible. Damn. You probably should have told us you needed to go last this time after that.
Exactly. Nobody wants to follow that.
Pull the curtains. Pull the curtains.
I told Seth Monday, I said, Seth, I'm working on something, man. I'm kind of excited about it.
I'm like, you're working on it already?
Yeah. Good Lord. He kept going, too. Every time I thought it was over, it was not over.
No, it ain't over.
No, there's another
verse. He's just getting started. That's seven.
That's because of L-Tab, Big Seth. That's because of L-Tab.
Oh, you were definitely inspired by Louder Than the Bomb Florida. That's for sure. Damn. Well,
with that being said,
damn. Yeah. All right, I'll go next. You want to go? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Perk. Go ahead. All right. You're the resident co-host. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to give y'all a preemptive. I tried to tell y'all.
All right.
I tried to tell y'all I have no idea what Sully and Half are going to do in this draft. They have no track record. I don't know what they value the most. I know what they said, right? And I know that they said that they value the attitude and the mentality and all of this kind of stuff. They want to build the trenches. They want to run the ball. They want to play aggressive defense. But as Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the mouth. Right. And so I don't know what they're going to do when number 11 rolls around. I have no idea. I think that they're going to go defense. I think that they're going to go BPA as opposed to filling a need, but I don't have a problem with drafting by need. When else are you going to fill your needs? You're not going to do it in free agency with expensive, broken down veterans. You fill your needs in the draft, but I don't know what these guys are going to do. They say they go BPA. You know what I've said. I think they double up on defense with Mansoor Delane, if he's available, and with Keldrick Faulk. But if he's not available, I don't know. I mean, are you going offensive line with Spencer Fanoh? What are you doing there? I have no idea, but I do think that they're going to be convicted in their moves. I don't think this is going to be a deal where they're kind of mealy-mouthed or wishy-washy. I'm not sure how convicted the Dolphins were last year taking Kenneth Grant in the first round. Tyler Warren, you know, the OJ's boy from Penn State, the tight end, was there at the next pick. He's probably going to be the better player. We still haven't found out what really happened there, but I'm not sure the Dolphins were that convicted last year. I think that they're going to be convicted this year, but man, I just have no idea which way they're going to go. This pick is going to give us a lot of insight and direction as to how Sully and Half think. But going into this draft, I don't know what to expect. I tried to tell y'all. Preemptively. Preemptively.
Preemptive, I tried to tell y'all. Very nice. Man,
look, Juice cooked. And I thought that, you know, Perk was going to bring it back to earth. And he goes on a four-minute rant itself. So, mine got 4 minutes in the tank. I'm just going to hit you with a hard 30, ask my wife. You know what I'm saying? So, here's what I will say. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but months and months ago, before he was dropping mics and telling you who runs the draft room, I was telling you, John Eric Sullivan, this guy up in the north from Green Bay, is the guy to come save this franchise. He's going to come down here, and he's going to give us direction. He's going to give us a culture, and he's going to draft, and he's going to hit on his draft picks and not waste them. So my thing is, I feel good going into tomorrow night. I don't know what they're going to do, but I trust in Soli. Chris Greer is not walking through that door. Lord, I hope not. If he did, we got a suicide situation. Somebody's got a gun on campus. There's going to be a problem getting the pick in. But John Eric Sullivan is the man for the job. And tomorrow night, he begins his trek, proving you why I tried to tell y'all.
Yeah. There it is.
There we go. All right. There we go, baby.
I like it. Bobby. I like it. You did. You were strong.
Hell yeah, nice. Bobby.
Hey, every once in a while, sneak in a minute. Every once in a while. If I get that lazy dog, right?
Hey, Bobby. All you got to do is just hold on longer. Just hold on for another 30 seconds. What are you doing? Right. Nah, just hold on another 30 seconds. It all counts.
Oh my God.
Think about Joe Philbin for about 10 seconds.
Jesus Christ.
The ultimate buzzkill. Yeah. Can you try to tell us anything?
Hold on. So yeah, don't worry, Juice. Let him be. Bobby is here for a good time and not a long time.
Hell yeah.
But as a matter of fact, I don't, but I kind of have something. It's more of a, you know what I think, if that's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, see, it's kind of a Freudian slip because over the last few weeks, Seth has said a couple things to me about the I tried to tell you, but he kept saying, you know what I think, and then I ended up with one. So here we go. But you know what I think? I think OJ McDuffie doesn't get nearly enough credit for his hands or his career. Now, I know we often talk about how he's the Dolphins legend and Danny's go-to guy, but oftentimes I feel that our younger fans can't truly appreciate it. So we've been doing Fin Condition for a few weeks, right? And the cards have stirred nostalgia in many of us and reminded us things we've forgotten. And for me specifically, it was that no matter what era and how well or poorly the team was performing, I always had a wide receiver that I was enamored with. Loved me some Chris Chambers, Brandon Marshall, Brian Hartline, Jarvis Landry, Devon Best. I always had one that I really liked. So it's safe to say that I kind of happen to agree with Juice's opinion of offense, that it should just be 11 wide receivers out there. But regardless, I sought out some film of this man playing, and it is incredibly difficult to find. Game film of him is so hard to locate that for a minute there, I had to stop and contemplate whether or not he had been contracted by the federal government and spent the entire 90s playing football at Area 51. The reason I harp on this is because we spend enough time talking about Juice's single season reception record, which stood until 2015, by the way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And looking into the other reception leaders, something stuck out to me. Out of the top 20, and hear that again, top 20 seasons, only three players recorded their glorious seasons prior to the year 2000. That is, well, actually, anybody guess? You don't get guess, Juice, because you probably know. Any questions? No? Any answers? No?
Mm-mm.
No? All right. Well, number one, Mark Clayton, 1988. Terry Kirby in 93. And then, of course, Juice in 97. In 98. And Juicy's 98 season beat the other two and set a record that would stand almost two decades. So on that note, I'm going to write my congressman and petition him to have them declassify Juicy's game film. But until then, Juice, please accept these flowers and, when I make it, a commemorative t-shirt that says Mythical Miami Dolphin and part of a balanced breakfast. And that's what I think.
There we go. Very nice.
Man.
Very nice. Man. Game film. Where is the game film?
Where is the game film, man?
Did the Hacks take it with them when they retired?
Bro, exactly. It's on reel to reel, and most of it's in like black and white. So it's just
like
tough,
the Pruder film, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's microfiche. It's on microfiche, Perk. You got to go to the library to find it.
Exactly. Library of Congress. Exactly.
Right. Too good. Too good.
I love it.
You guys were too good today. I should just let it ride with that. And I am underprepared. But I have tried to tell y'all that the most important position in all of sport is the quarterback. And if the most important position in all of sport is the quarterback, then the second most important position in all of sport is the guy who can knock the shit out of the quarterback. And so I am a firm believer that the Miami Dolphins need to get back to a place where they can disrupt the opposing quarterback, particularly when in their own division, they have to face Josh Allen twice, right? Now they got Drake May twice. New York still is doing us a favor here. But there are enough quarterbacks in this quarterback-driven league that the Dolphins have to figure out a way to disrupt the opposing quarterback to remain effective, especially when they have not established their secondary yet. And I get that you're getting now a secondary expert at the head position, but I'm not going to just assume that those things will always connect. Nick Saban was supposed to be one of the greatest defensive back coaches that we ever had, and that was not an area of strength in the Nick Saban-coached Miami Dolphins teams. So, but you know what was? Guys who could get after the passer. And so, yes, I know where my bread is buttered. I know who signs my paycheck. I know whose name I have represented for three decades. That don't mean I'm wrong. And I promise you I'm not. Go look at the salaries. There's a reason those guys get paid what they get paid. There's a reason those guys get drafted where they get drafted. The Miami Dolphins need to find a pass rush again. I am not giving up on Chop Robinson. I know we saw a dip in production last year, and people have just thrown out, you know, well, Chop can't play anymore. It was his second year. It was ineffective. I think he's going to come back stronger, but give that man some help on the other side. Give him a killer. Give him a mouth breather. Give him someone who's going to just eat raw meat off the bone. And I think there's a guy out there. I like Reuben Bain. I think he's that guy, but there are some other pass rushers as well. The Miami Dolphins need to find a way to bring those guys to South Florida, because that is going to be instant progress for this team. So the most important player on the field is the quarterback. The Dolphins feel they found their quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now they need to find a guy who can kick the shit out of one. I tried to tell y'all.
Nice.
Mm. Yeah. That's our strongest round yet, I think.
Yeah,
it was good.
That was a good round for everybody.
Well, yeah, I wasn't really prepared for this. I'm gonna be honest. Seth wants to get dropped the ball on me. You gotta start reaching out to somebody and try and tell me what's going on here. I didn't know we were doing poetry night. I thought that was last week.
Bobby, that's my first time going that route, Bobby.
I didn't know we were gonna have poetry. I tried to tell you all it's a staple, Bobby. I know you haven't been here with us in a while,
bro,
but it's a staple of this show.
I thought this was Live at the Apollo, and they freaking booed me off stage, bro. What the hell is going on here?
It's a rite of passage. Well, look, this time tomorrow, it'll be exciting. We should know where the Miami Dolphins stand in this first round. We should know where Juice is, because I think he will already have left his headsets at the Dolphins draft party. He'll be long gone. He's not long sticking gone. Around till 10 o'clock. We look forward to reading what Perk has to say about it. But
we're looking forward to seeing what Bobby have with his draft recaps all about. Yeah, as well.
Well, he's got six more shows after this.
Yeah, he's got 12. Seth, don't shortchange him, man. He's got a midnight hit. He's got to do. Like, so he's got to get him out of here.
He's doing his European shows in a few hours overseas.
Right. They're about to wake up over there so Bobby can get on with them. Right.
Too good. Full-time podcasting. You got to love it. Great stuff. Looking forward to tomorrow night. Gentlemen, appreciate everybody for being here with us. Juice, get us the hell out, man.
Savak, Seth, Perk, Bobby, man, and everybody else, man. Thanks for diving in.